All right, quickly, let's begin today. We'll read from the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. What we are talking about is what we have titled The Fruitful Life. And what I want to explain is how Christians get results. And in the last few episodes, what I have been doing is establishing some basic background matter concerning this issue of the fruitfulness of life in the life of a believer. Now, so what we are going to do today, like I said, is continue from the book of 2 Peter. Let me just review for a few minutes. I'll make sure it's not more than 5 minutes, what we have said so far, especially what we said last time. And what we said is that, what I tried to emphasize last time is the fact that if you labor, all right? Okay, let me just say this one first. There's what is called laboring under a curse. Let me explain that. And that's what the Bible calls to be fleshly minded. What that means is that there is an attitude towards life in which you judge things based on what your eyes see. You judge things based on the natural, all right, occurrences, on the natural laws, the operations thereof. We said those things are what the Bible calls to be carnally or fleshly minded. And if you are like that, the Bible says that you are subject to the operations of spiritual death. The reason is because God cursed Adam from the beginning. And he did not curse Adam, just Adam directly, but he said that because of Adam, what happened? That the earth was cursed. So anybody operating earthly principles is subject to the curse that God placed upon Adam. Do you understand that principle? If we operate by those natural laws, all right, you are subject to the operation of spiritual death. And let me say this, it works normally. That's what I want to explain. Let me say, I said that before, I want to say it again. It works how? Normally, that is on a day-to-day basis, you will not realize the oppression of spiritual death in the natural laws until God's breath blows upon it. And we've established a number of principles that there are natural laws, there are what we call common laws. I don't want to go over them again. And that there is the law of the spirit of life which operates from a level beyond that which is what? Common. So that you can find that normally the natural law dictates that a man should not walk on water. But when it is necessary, Jesus will walk on water. And I explain something, and I emphasize that. In fact, that's the main thing I'm trying to bring out from all of this. That the life of the Christian is different. Are you getting my point? You're not a normal person. And I don't like the idea, all right, that we will gather and make Aliko Dangote, all right, a subject of analysis because we think he's materially successful. I don't think it is right for Christians to gather and take a worldly success and take the life of Bill Gates and digest it for learning how to succeed in life. I think it's an error that has crept into Christianity. Are you getting my point? God did not call us to come and emulate somebody who does not profess the faith of Christ because our life is a life of grace. And the Bible says it has to be by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. All I want to see, what I want to learn from somebody's life is how the grace of God manifested in his life. And if the foundation of his success, is not faith through the Lord Jesus Christ, then I have no business trying to follow him. I said something last time, be careful how you follow people. That there are many reasons God raises people. Pharaoh did everything wrong, but he made it to be head of state. Let me say that again. The Pharaoh that persecuted the children of Israel, he did everything wrong, but he made it to be head of state. Do you know why? God said, for this cause I raised you up, that I might show my power in you. Fella did everything wrong, morally speaking, did everything wrong, and made it to be very famous. And when Naira was like exchanging for 75 kobo to the dollar, he could count a few millions of Naira in those days. Are you getting my point? But God said, for this cause, I raised you up to demonstrate something in your life. I made a mention of a man who's very famous worldwide. I read his analysis, his biography. I analyzed it and I said, this man, God is raising you up for a reason I don't understand. Fools will follow you and they will be destroyed because God is not trying to raise them up the way he raised you up. I don't know what he's raising you up for. So be careful when you are following somebody who is an unbeliever. I don't give a damn about the amount of money he has. I don't care the amount of challenges he has overcome. Listen, my friend, I am a believer. The Bible says something clearly. There are only two people in the scriptures that the Bible says I should look up to. It said, number one, look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, your mother. All right? He said, when he was warned, I called him. Are you getting my point? And then I multiplied him. I blessed him. After that, he said, looking unto Jesus. That's the final word. The author and finisher of faith. Your life is a life of faith. My life is to be the life of faith. not to demonstrate material success for anybody to see. God, I've said it again and again, is not in competition concerning who can make people rich. Bow to the devil, he will make you the richest man in the world, and God doesn't care. You know why? He's not competing. Jesus would have made it to be the richest man in the world if he had bowed to the devil. Please, are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus would have made it to be the richest man in the world if he had bowed to the devil. Let me say it one more time. Jesus would have made it to be the richest man in the world if he had bowed to the devil. So that doesn't mean anything. Are you following my point? There are many principles of life, all right? But what marks out the life of the believer is that he operates what the Bible calls the law of the spirit of life. And he said that is only found where? In Christ Jesus. That's what we've been discussing. And I've stopped, all right? I ended that one last time. I want to continue from how to operate that law of the spirit of life beginning from today. I've said it here and there, but let's settle on it. I said, number one, what we operate is what? Promise. Your life is founded upon the promise of God. Isaac was God's example of what your life is supposed to be. Isaac was brought to this earth. Go and study Romans chapter 4. All right? Because of the faith of Abraham. Isaac was the, what the Bible called the son of promise. Ishmael was a son born after the natural order. Please, I want you to understand this thing. Ishmael was what? The son born after what? The natural order. When Abraham followed the natural order, he had Ishmael. I hope you're following my point. But God doesn't want you to give birth to Ishmael. Ishmael became a problem to the son of promise for years after. Are you getting my point? In fact, you see that the things recorded in the scriptures, they were recorded that will learn certain principles. That when you give birth to results on natural premises, they become a problem for your peace of mind. Are you getting my point? I said something to us several times before. The way you get a result is the way you will sustain it. If you sweat and struggle to get a result, peace will elude you all your life. You will always have problems all your life. That's what Hagar, Ishmael does. When you unite with Hagar, after a natural order, you beget something that is natural. Unfortunately, men who don't have understanding, all right, will go ahead and start showing you how uniting with Hagar produces results. And we write books on the birth of Ishmael, not realizing that that's not what God wants us to have as Christians. How does the life of the believer work? Quickly, the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, let's read that. It said from verse 2. Let me start from verse 1. Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have faith, who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. Why I wanted to read verse 1 is the next line. By the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. There is a kind of righteousness that is found only in Christ Jesus. We'll discuss that as we go on. Now in verse 2 it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Please notice verse 4. For by these, what are these? It said, his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Now, by these things, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. Through his divine power, he has given us something. What God uses power to bring forth in our lives is something, a promise. He said, in order that by these promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Please, let me explain this verse 4 before I continue. Now, what does it mean when he talks about being a partaker of something? What he meant was that people can demonstrate the life of God working in them. That's what he was saying. For example, Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, we know you must be what? Someone that came from God. Because nobody can do these miracles except God is with him. And Jesus answered him, the same thing that Peter is talking about here. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. two things. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want you to notice those two things. First, you must see before you what? Enter. In fact, seeing, as far as God is concerned, means that you have entered, because a door has been made open for you to enter. Now, what was Nicodemus saying? That we see your life and you're a partaker of divine nature. That's what I'm trying to bring out here. That is, the things occurring in your life shows that there is something. Listen, let me tell you the meaning of the word divine nature. What is his name now? Joseph. Joseph showed up before Pharaoh. When Joseph was through, Pharaoh looked and said, can we find a man like this one, seeing that he is a partaker of a nature of the gods? Let me give you his own words. Seeing that in him dwells what? The spirit of the gods. Please, I want you to notice that. The man demonstrated wisdom. And Pharaoh said, in this man dwells what? The spirit of the gods. That's what Peter was calling partaking of the divine nature. He wasn't saying, like a lot of us, and as soon as I was growing up in the faith, that, you see, as you are seeing me so, I'm a child of God. The spirit of God is inside me. It's not a lie. Are you getting my point? But that's not what Peter was saying. Peter was saying that you will appear before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh will discover something bigger than what he ever knew. Are you following what I'm saying? He was saying, like Daniel, there will be a problem, and the king's mother will say, there is a man in your kingdom, an insight, an understanding like the type you find in the gods is to be found in this Daniel. That's being a partaker of divine nature. What am I saying? When the world is confounded by problems, that is when they require the manifestation of the sons of God. And Peter is explaining to us here, the only way you will be a partaker. You know, partaker now doesn't mean to eat. Partaker means to what? Share in the demonstration of something. So the only way you will be able to do it is by using what? His divine promises. His promises. Let's read that again. Verse 4. He said, he has granted us his precious and magnificent promises in order that by them we might overcome the challenges of life. In order that by them we will build great enterprises. In order that by them we will do things that will confound the world. In order that by them we will look at all the so-called rich men of the earth and we will watch calamity before them. And only us will have the wisdom to pull them out. Let me say it to you again. What Satan tries to do to the people of God is to distract them. He tries to prove to them, all right, that Bill Gates is the richest man in the world, so follow Bill Gates. He tries to prove to them, now, are you following what I'm saying? That look, in Nigeria, Aliko Dangote, this Glow, what's the name of Glow? Mike Adenuga, and these people, they are the richest men in the world, so follow their principles. And I've heard Christians say that Christians like to talk, you know, preachers, that Christians like to talk, they don't have results. Listen to me, I say prophets don't use results. Prophets use the knowledge of the things that are recorded in heaven. They don't make their boast based on results. What did God call you and I? He said, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. God said, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Let not the one who has built great enterprises try to confound my children by boasting in that which he has accomplished and telling them that they don't have a mouth to talk because they don't have this kind of results. He said, that's nonsense. So let the one who wants to boast, boast in one thing, that he knows me. We get easily carried away by worldly principles. It's results that talk. Aren't crap, nonsense. That's not Christianity. What talks in Christianity is prophecies. If you know the mind of God. Because if it was results, listen, Enoch couldn't prophesy. If it was results, are you getting what I'm saying? Noah was a fool. For 100 years, Noah was an idiot. He believed in God, kept away from their iniquities. He did not have results. But listen to me, the day the breath of God blew, all of them perished but Noah. I read a lot. These so-called worldly principles of success, even though I have read them. All the men, you've heard me quote. I read the story of Pogetti. I read Donald Trump. I read the story about, look, many of the world's richest men, I read their stories too. But listen to me, I won't get carried away. Nobody should tell me I can't talk because I don't have results. I used to tell my wife that the things I'm telling you, I read them somewhere. My father didn't tell me. The things I'm telling you, I read them in the scriptures. My mother didn't tell me. I can't point to couples that are older than me who are practicing them. But by the Spirit of God, I read them from the Word of God. This year will be my 10th year anniversary of marriage. Every year, my wife keeps getting more convinced that my husband was right. They were wrong. Before I married, I had never married before. I had no results to show. I hope you are following what I'm saying. I didn't have the results to show that. But I had the prophecies of God. I had the Word of God. You see, simple things I read. I said, He that made them created a male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh. And whatever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. That was where I discovered that a man and his wife are supposed to hold everything as one person. I didn't say in common. I said as one person. People said all kinds of things. I remember a friend of mine were just discussing. I said, if your wife doesn't like your mother being in your house, I said, your mother will have to go because she has to stay. He said, do you know I'm an only child? I said, that's your problem. Maybe you should just marry your mother to solve all your problems. No, you see, it wasn't based on results. It was based on what? The knowledge of prophecies. The knowledge of promises. And I said something before. Don't think that we are saying that, if you analyze life well, you will discover that these things we are saying, they are correct. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that if I obey the Word of God, life will conform to the prophecies of God. This is divine order. Alright? First, there is a word, and then there is a manifestation. Are you getting my point? First, there is what? A word, and then there is a manifestation. Number one is a word. That is, God records something in heaven. It's first we hear that word, we believe it. That's when our lives begin to conform. Many people are going to look at my life. As a matter of fact, this was settled before I started preaching to you, so I'm not trying to impress you. Is that okay? Many people will look at my life and say, this guy was very smart. He knew what he was doing. We are the ones that did not know. They will think if they had to live life again, they will follow my order. That is true. All right? They should. But what they don't understand is that they don't have my faith. All right? My order is foolish every time. I don't know what I hear what I'm saying. The decisions I've made in life, if you don't have my faith, they are foolish. Now, the fact that my life will not demonstrate I was right is not proof that the natural order made sense. What am I trying to explain? That the events only conformed with my faith. So if you follow that order without having my faith, you will drown. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Listen, when the sea parted for the Israelites, the Egyptians tried to follow, and they discovered that it is not natural for people to walk through the sea. Let us assume there was an argument. How should they have gone? The Egyptians said, oh, but let us take boat. And somebody said, no. The children of Israel, they went through the water. What they don't know, assuming the things didn't go the way it went with the Egyptians, is that if you followed the children of Israel, you would have drowned. What am I trying to explain? What we are living by, he said, the just shall acquire life by his faith. The just shall live. That word live. It's not as the just walks by faith. The just should walk by faith. But what it was saying, that when the man has walked by faith, the events of life will cooperate to bring a manifestation to his faith. The just lives, acquires life because of his faith. I hope you're getting my point. So you see, Christians, it's not about what results do you have. The argument should be on, is it written or is not written? Let the word argue about with results. This is how we did it and we got this result. All those things are okay until the breath of God blows. Please, are you understanding my point? The Bible says do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your life is supposed to be lived differently. Are you getting my point? This is how you get your results. Please, let's continue reading. So we're talking about that partaking of divine nature. He said, this is how we escape the corruption that is in the world. We've already explained that, because the world is under a curse. He said, now, for this very reason. Now, please, I want us to analyze this scripture very well. He said, now, for this very reason. What reason? Now that we know that God, by the workings of his power, in that Jesus went to the cross, died for us, and rose up again from the dead, through that he gave us promises. Because of the knowledge of those promises, we will become partakers of the divine nature, which I've already explained. Peter now said, because of these things, let us apply all diligence. In your faith, he said, applying all diligence, in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, supply what? Knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And your perseverance, godliness. And your godliness, brotherly kindness. And your brotherly kindness, love. He said, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, however, verse 9 says, anyone who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and his choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance, please notice this word. For in this way, by practicing these things, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Let me stop here and explain some things. We have established something. The Christian walks by promises. Are you getting my point? Let me explain that properly before I now delve into explaining the rest of these things. What I want to get down to is the issue of, look at verse 11. It said there is an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that will be abundantly supplied to you. Don't forget what Jesus said. Except the man be born again, he cannot what? Enter. What is the entrance? The ability to see. Because it's when the man has seen that he will be able to enter. Let me say this to you again. When God called Isaiah, what did he tell him to do? He said, go and blind these people. Deaden their hearts. Dull their ears. Blind them. You know why? I don't want them to hear and understand. I don't want them to see and perceive. He said, because if they do, they will go back, they will repent, and I will be forced to heal them. However, a destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness. Therefore, I will not let that happen. That is, even though I determine to punish a man, if he will have understanding and do the right things, I will be compelled to stay my hand of punishment. Are you getting the point? So when God wants to bless a man, what does he do for him? He opens his eyes to see. When Hagar cried for her son after Abraham had let them go, what happened? God opened her eyes and she saw a well. And I preached a sermon on that some time ago. It's in our collection. Please go and listen to it. Open my eyes, O Lord. Are you getting my point? Listen, what brings forth the manifestation of God's promises into your life? Do you understand? Is when you have done the will of God. Now, get my point. This is the will of God. That which God has opened your eyes to see and to do concerning your situation in life. Listen to me. Until God opens your eyes, you can't discover his will. You can't do the right thing. Therefore, you continue in destruction. He said, my people are destroyed because they don't understand. My people are destroyed because they can't see the correct things. They have issues in their lives. They have issues in their marriages. They have issues in their businesses. They have issues in their academics. They have issues in their walk with God in life. They are experiencing destruction. He said, because there is something they have not yet seen. If they see it, they will do it, and that becomes their entrance into the release of the manifestation of God in their lives. Listen, be afraid of copying people. Because some doors lead to places you don't want to go to. Are you getting my point? Listen, let me say this to you, oh God. There are many things to say. Be careful about life. Life. Be very careful. Be very careful. Many of the things you worry God for, ask Him and pester Him, are the very things that will kill you. And when you don't let Him rest, He will give them to you. But that doesn't mean it won't kill you. He said, they tempted God in the wilderness. They cried for meat. God gave them meat and sent leanness into their souls. That's why I'm done with all those kind of issues of what really do you want? Write them down, put them on the wall, and keep looking at them. And keep asking God and keep confessing. If you harass Him enough, even though He doesn't want to give you. I told you something earlier. Natural common laws, they work. That's some very careful testimonies. You can tell me anything you like. There are people who have abandoned their ministries and joined somebody else, and they come and testify. I say, dear Lord, dear brethren, God has been good. I was struggling on my own. Then I connected with this unction. Look at it now. I said, look at it. You just left your destiny. The guy just abandoned his destiny. And he's giving testimonies that for 12 years I was struggling. Nothing was coming forth. And then I came. And then I contacted this unction. Now all I do is what this man says. And listen to me. The guy just abandoned the call of God for his life to go and choose what is easier. And he's testifying. That is in life, be very careful. It's very easy to be singing songs and giving testimonies. You see how people are following TB Joshua all over the place. And I'm looking. And somebody said, he's doing miracle. He's giving to the poor. I say, you fool. You think Satan is so stupid that when he wants to distract you from the will of God, he'll come and be scaring you. He will entice you. Let me not sit on things that don't edify. What I'm going to explain is this. It's not every open door. You understand? That's your door. Please, are you following the point I'm making? I'm bringing out an issue here. There is an entrance that God has created for you. How to find that entrance is what we're discussing. Let me start like this before I analyze that thing. This is how I told you your life is what? Is based on promise. The reason why a Christian, listen to me. The reason, listen to this. Why you will prosper in life is not because you gave. The reason is because there is a promise of prosperity over your life. The reason why you will live long is not because you learned how to eat aloe vera and vitamin E. It is because there is a promise of long life over your head. Are you getting my point? The reason why, as a pastor, you will build the largest church in Nigeria is not because you went to South Korea and learned the principles of church growth from Yonggi Cho. It is because before you were born, a promise was released on your head. And part of the word that described your life said, this young woman shall be the head pastor of a congregation of 1 million Nigerians. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest things God did for me was to help me read Kenneth Hagin before I began ministry. And I found out that many preachers won't live long. They will be succeeding, and you'll be clapping for them, and you'll be rejoicing over their victories. And God will say, this guy, If he makes it past 55, I'm not God. Because he gets up and he makes idols. Please, you will see what I'm going to talk about Christians getting results. He makes idols of men. He makes idols of the successes of other people. And God said, dear son of mine, go down to this particular area and do the work of the evangelist. After 5 years, you will leave there and you will go to this other area and you will do the work of the evangelist. After that, you will go to this area and you will do the work of the apostle. Then I will anoint you with a special kind of unction, but your name will never appear in the pages of the newspaper all the days of your life. Nobody will discuss you. There is nothing I want to manifest in your life that I've not written in the scriptures. So I don't need it. No reporter will visit you. Are you getting my point? But listen to me. Even though men won't sing your song, but a day will come in which everyone must appear before my judgment throne. And I will judge them according to the works that they did while they were in the flesh. And then I will say, this man who I sent to that small area, in one corner of Somalia, or of Kenya, or of Nigeria, what did he do? And that's when men will know you were following me. But not having been schooled in the things of God, he buys Charisma magazine. And they show one very handsome looking black American pastor who flies around 5 continents in a 737 and is only 32. And he meets with kings and they write stories. And is a modern day Daniel and modern day Joseph put into one. And the guy looks closely. He's 32, I'm 34. He's a child of God, I'm a child of God. The same God in America is the same God here. And he finishes the night, then he because lost. Listen, anything you focus on, you'll find ways to accomplish. That's why I said be careful. When he focuses on that man's life, not realizing that a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. You know what he starts doing? He starts learning the principles of church growth. And amongst the things he learns unconsciously is that no matter how much your church grows, if the town is only 25,000 people, they can never grow beyond 25,000. He just tells himself. So they say, okay, relocate from there and go to the capital city. If he's a Nigerian, he goes to Abuja, or goes to Lagos, or goes to Port Harcourt. In 5 years, he has a suit as fine as the guy he saw in Charisma magazine. Are you getting my point? In 10 years, he has bought, even not a private jet, a fleet of cars. If he harasses his congregation long enough, and he's located where there are many rich people, all right, he might actually buy a jet also. And then he starts telling his confused story. When I did not have sense, I was Nabakiliki. And then I looked to men who were bigger than me, who were not going in your direction in life, who had a different calling from the one that you have. I told somebody, I said, God gave me a vision. And go and read Songs of Solomon. He said, my brothers made me keep their vineyard. My own vineyard I have not kept. I'm not keeping anybody else's vineyard without keeping my own. Because on the judgment day, when you stand before the judgment seat of God, they won't judge me according to how much I looked like you. But God looked and said, this man departed. Now, please, I'm bringing out something. That there is a word that describes your life. And that's why you must not be conformed with this to this world and the worldly church. You know what I mean by worldly church now? That is, the church learns the things of the world and you think you are being conformed to the church. That's why after them in Hebrews chapter 11, everything was said. He jumped to chapter 12 and said, now we have explained everything. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. When we're talking about the hundredfold blessing, I'll explain what that means. Because every one of those people, you sit down, you see one point in their life in which they did not reach for the fullness of God's blessing. Except the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope what I'm saying is clear. I hope you are following the principle. Now, what am I explaining here? That you have, this is how your life is. there was a word recorded. You know, concerning Joseph, it was said until the time that his word came, everybody has a word. One of the greatest things you do for yourself in life is to stop envying somebody else. You can learn a few things from some people. I'm not saying you can't learn from people. But just know their life is their life. I've sat with people before, and they start discussing ministry. Let me tell you something. The ministers you know about are the ones that are talked about, not the ones that are successful. Shall I say that again? The people you know about are the ones that are talked about. I don't know how you get what I'm saying. The reason you know about them is because they are talked about. That's why the greatest people on earth all come from America. Why? Because they control the media. That's all. It is not because they are really the greatest people on earth, but because they have the greatest networks, so they can talk about their people. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that they were talking about some people that were well spoken of. There are things. Listen, I told my wife once. I'm telling you this is how you will learn. One day I traveled. It was, I think somebody was wedding in my in-law's place. So when I arrived, another person came to the house for the same wedding. He just bought a very nice car. Very, very nice one. Beautiful ride. So my father ended up being the elder, you know what I mean? So he came and presented the car that my father should come and bless the car. You understand what I mean? Bought a bottle of wine. So as I was passing, my father just called me and said, "Banky." I said, "Yes, daddy." He said, "Come, you are the pastor. Come, let us go and pray for this car." And they opened the bonnet of the car. Hi, Yaba. Everything was shining. No drop of oil anywhere. Reflexly, I took a look at my car parked down the road. What's a reflex? I just traveled down. The car was dirty. The bumper was half bent to one side. If you open my bonnet, you will see oil and you see dust mixed together. Doing the will of who, I don't know. I mean, just there. I told my wife, I said, "Baby girl, I felt like a poor guy." On the spot, I felt like a poor, that is, instantly, I felt like I was suffering. Now, I can talk about that because it doesn't move me. Listen, as God is my witness, it doesn't move this nigger. It does not move me at all. It doesn't move me. I'm not going to change what I'm doing because you bought a new car. I won't change what I'm doing because you carried your wife, your children, and took it all over the world. I won't. You can't prove to me I don't know what I'm doing because you are making money. It's your personal problem. Like I said, everybody has a problem in life. Everybody has his problem. You bought a new car, is your problem. You built a big house, is your problem. Remember my gist about my mother and I? Hey, Banky. Yes, mommy. You know, your mates are building houses too. I said, "How many of them are teaching the way of success?" That was my answer. How many of them wrote, "Great faith can be yours"? How many of them wrote, "He that believes"? How many of them wrote, "By faith acquire life"? How many of them wrote, "Choice is key to destiny"? You can build all the houses you like. It's your problem. This guy is teaching secrets and truths of the kingdom of God. You know why? Because each person's life has a word. Listen, my mother couldn't conceive and deliver me until God had given a word about my life. It therefore would be foolishness. I told the day I was talking to my mom, he said, how about your practice? I said, I shut it down. He said, why? I said, kingdom world ministries take too much of my time. He said, but it doesn't give you money. I said, so what? What shall we do then? Shall we, because it's not paying, abandon the reason why we were born? Shall we, because it's not paying, abandon the reason why God sustains our breath? God looked at Kenegan and said, if I did not stop you, this one that you stopped. Now, this man was preaching. He was preaching. But because he refused to prophesy as a prophet, God said, you will have died at the age of 55. It's called the unprofitable servant principle. If you are not doing what you were called to do, God does not have any reason to sustain your life again. I hope you are following me. What am I going to explain? A word was released, and that word, having gone forth, is trying to propel your life in a particular direction. The reason you will succeed is because of the word that went forth, not because we learned some junky principles. The primary reason you will succeed is because God spoke something into existence, which was, he said, the word became flesh. The word that God spoke is why you are here. Are you getting my point? You didn't come to this life to learn how to do things. You came to this life to demonstrate what God spoke that you should do. That's why there are so many accidents and locks in life. So that God will let men understand that the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. Bread is not to the mighty. Not favor to the men of understanding. He said time and chance happens to all men. God just wants you to understand that you cannot plan it enough. Just make, you know, something happened to my wife. She traveled, you know. She just came back 2 days ago. I know she's a... Look, my wife is a very... I miss my wife a lot. So thank God for GSM. I wonder how men used to cope those days when the wives would travel on ship. 2 months to get to where you are going. Two months to come back. That is the journey alone. No? And in case you want to write letter, 2 months for the letter to go there. And she, so if she writes you how much she loves you today, you can be sure that she, that's how much she loved you 2 months ago. As at now... You are not sure. I said, when are people taking off? That's to come back to Enugu. So I'm waiting for them to announce the flight. Meanwhile, the pilot was wondering, where is this last passenger? Where is this last person? He said, offloading her load that Western. She doesn't want to travel again. And she was sitting down there, waiting. Finally, she heard, please can Ufoma Olishina. She entered the plane. People were like, where did you go all this way? And she did not hear the announcement. She said, she wasn't sleeping. She was waiting. She was eager to go home. And she said, look at how the devil wanted to ruin. And of course, we don't make cake, tie balloon. Everybody was waiting. Madam, they come home. Ah, it would have been devastating. This is the point. As if God wanted to show that it's not planning. She was sitting in the airport there waiting. And announcements were made and everybody entered the flight and she did not, get my point, she did not hear. To let you know, the race is not the swift. It is not the person that knows how to plan that gets everything. Things will just go wrong. You will wonder, waiting I do. I hope you're getting my point. The most important reason you will succeed in life, that's what I'm explaining. It's not because you have sense. It is because God spoke a word. It is because there is a promise. And I explained last time that promises, all right, force every event in life to cooperate. That's why the easiest way to succeed as a Christian is to discover what God said you should do. Is to discover what God wanted you to become. Is to discover what God created you to be. It's not about principles first. It's about what? Promises. Like Miles Monroe said, before God formed you, he first wrote the plan. Then when he had finished with the plan, you know what he now did? He now formed you to fit his plan. Are you getting my point? Now, listen to this. When we talk about the will of God, I need to say it again. Remember that my little book, What is God's Will Here? In the first chapter, I tried to define what it was or what it is that is the will of God. Unconsciously, what men call the will of God. I'll give you two meanings for the will of God today, all right? The first one is the one we discussed before, and I want to explain that. Then I'll explain the second one, which I already mentioned a bit earlier anyway. Number one. Now, unconsciously, when you tell a woman, marry me, and she wants to go and pray to find out the will of God. When you tell a man, take a job, and she wants to pray, he wants to pray to find out the will of God. What he means, what she means, most times that which one will benefit me more. Please, Lord, tell me. I don't know whether I get my point. That is why Christianity is different from all other religions. Because when you go to a diviner, you will ask him, you know what they call a diviner? Those who cast pellets or use whatever to tell you the future. You will ask him, please, this man says I should marry him. Will he be a good husband? So he starts checking using his principles. In 25 years' time, will he still be loving you or will he be shooting you? In 25 years' time, will he be richer or he'll be poorer? So he starts checking those things, and his conclusion on whether you should marry him or not is based upon whether in 25 years' time he will be a nice guy still or he will be a rich man still or richer. And if he looks like he will fit those two things, then he will say, go ahead, my daughter. The God said you should go ahead. Are you getting my point? For the young man too, if you go, say, and they said, I said, would the boss sack me? That's what the man is checking. Will they increase my pay? Will I become MD one day? Will I, from this job, able to, like they say in Yoruba land, will I be able to bring the fruits of the farm back to the house? You know what I mean? That is, after I have sojourned, will I have enough to take back home? And if that is the case, they'll say, good, go ahead, marry him. Or do take the job. That is the will of God. But in that book, I said, that's not the will of God. Let me tell you what the will of God is. The will of God simply means that God wrote something before you were born. And is this what he wrote or is not what he wrote? If you were to show Joseph a picture of his life over the next few years, he won't go. He's not going anywhere. Joseph is easy to understand because he eventually became prime minister. But think about Moses. The step he took was not the step in the will of God, the way you and I know the will of God today. Because no matter how much we honor him today, don't forget, living in the wilderness is not easy. He could have settled in the palace and become somebody great. And he would have testified of how to reject the temptation of joining the Israelites. So what is the will of God? Let me tell you again. It's not the one that feels good to you. The fact that you went somewhere at the end of the day, all right, things did not go as men thought goodness should reflect, does not mean you make the decision out of the will of God. What defines what the will of God is, okay, is whether that's what God really wants for your life. Sometimes it doesn't mean you become rich and become very influential and become a governor and become a big political figure. That's one level of the will of God. The second level, which I want to introduce today, is that in every situation, the will of God is that vision, that wisdom, that entrance into the kingdom. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, there's a general will of God concerning your life, but each situation you will encounter in life, there is one thing that God wants you to do. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, that thing that is the one thing is what Peter called in that context, in that verse, the entrance into the kingdom of God. Now, let me say it again. There is one thing that God wants you to do in every situation. There are times that God will lead my steps. By the time I finish, now I know, you know, devil and I, we're not friends. We don't go out together. He doesn't ride in my car. I hope you know that. He doesn't ride in my car. We are not friends. He doesn't lead me. All he ever tries to do is to tempt me. I don't follow him. He doesn't live in my house. We are not friends. Listen to me. He doesn't control my life. If my tire busts for road, one thing you will never hear me say is, Satan, I rebuke you. Because he was not there when my tire was busting. As God who I serve is my witness, all I ever say is, Father, I thank you. You will explain to me what is the purpose for you stranding me in the bush, but I thank you. What I'm telling you has happened? Not once. So. I said, dear Lord, see this tire, don't go down. This one, don't enter mud now. How it will please you, I really don't know. But first of all, in everything, I will give thanks. My issue is between me and my God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, what I'm saying is, there are times that God has led me like that, and I have suffered a loss. Are you getting my point? God has led me like that, and what I would love to gain, I lost it. God has led me like that, and I would have loved to increase, but I went down, outwardly speaking. It doesn't mean it's not the will of God. As long as I got there, all right, doing what I knew to be right, this is what I'm making. Even under those circumstances, I check, what am I supposed to do now? Listen, what am I saying here? That there is one thing to do, and that is the will of God. It's not every time your boss harasses you, you resign. There are those who resign into poverty like that. Who resign into confusion. And they will not go back in the path of progress for life until they go back and go and apologize for resigning. You don't know there are times that God sends you to places so that they will humble your head. You are feeling too happy. So they will give you a wicked soul of a boss. Jacob thought he was smart. God said, all right, no wahala. I will lead you into the house of a smarter guy. By the time he's through with you, you will fear God. Now, please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. That the second kind of will of God, what I'm saying here, that God has a word. He has something specific he wants you to do in every situation. And that thing, listen to me, is the entrance into his kingdom. Don't forget what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is when a man is able to look at the storm and says, stop, peace, be still. And Nicodemus comes and says, nobody can do this thing except God is with him. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's when a man, when they say that nobody can ever build anything solid in Nigeria, and the man builds something, and they say nobody can do this thing, are you following me? Except God be with him. What leads you into that particular kind of lifestyle, manifestation or partaking of divine nature, like we said, is when in each situation, you discover the entrance into the kingdom. Listen to me. Christianity, that's what makes it unique. There is nothing. Look, listen, there are some baseline things that are general. Are you getting what I'm saying? But beyond those baseline things, Christianity is so specific to each person. God has something specific he has written concerning your life. If you do the one I am doing, you won't get anywhere. Look, all this copycat mentality is okay for babies. While we are yet children, you get my point? We will learn some basic things by copying other people. But the time comes, you come up to maturity. You will rise up and say, what is the entrance into the kingdom of God for me? Now listen to me. When you discovered that entrance, that is when you will do the most foolish of things and it will confound the wise. Look, a Christian is not a fatalist. You know, like fatalist, a man who doesn't care what happens. No, that's not what Christianity is. A man of faith is not the person who just gets up and does things, believing that everything will be alright. You know what I'm like? You just get up and do everything that's contrary to reasoning. It is not a sign of your faith that you're always disagreeing with everybody. You know what real faith is? That you are taking actions. Now, let me say this to you. Listen to me clearly. To the man of faith, I think I've said it before. Hear it again. To the man of faith, his actions are reasonable. It is the people that are watching that think he's unreasonable. Let me say it again so you will hear it clearly. If you are doing things that appear foolish to even you, it's not faith, it's foolishness. If even you are confused as to what you are doing, you're not obeying God. You're confusing yourself and you are deceived. The fact is that you are probably copying somebody else. In the depths of your heart, you still think there's something wrong with this. But because that's what Pastor Banky did, and life is okay for him. Because that's what you saw this man do, and life is okay for him. And you now do it, but do you think it's the most foolish thing for you to do? You're not walking by faith. You're walking by imitation. Are you getting what I'm saying? The things that I will do, and it will be a matter of faith, to me is reasonable. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. It is to those who don't see what I'm seeing that it is unreasonable. The man of faith, what he's doing to him is very reasonable. Jesus went to the cross. Very foolish and stupid thing to do. Yes, now, because you don't see what he's in. The Bible said he didn't go to the cross because he loves pain. He was not a pervert. When he saw the cross, what did he do? He moved by Isaiah, they come. Peter, wait here. I won't go pray. He did. Nah. Please hear this. He did not step out of that garden until he had the assurance that this is the right thing to do. And the Bible says that angels ministered to him. What did they do? He said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He saw something, and they said, the only door to this thing is the cross. Therefore, because of what was behind the cross, it went through the cross. To him, it was reasonable. It was to those of us who didn't understand, that thought it was a bold step. That's why a lot of bold steps have turned out in calamity. Like I say all the time, David, didn't face Goliath thinking that my God is able. You know what I mean? Like, God can do anything. He faced Goliath knowing that he, David, will kill Goliath. That is, I don't know whether you get what I'm explaining. David knew he would take a stone. David didn't think that, let me face Goliath. When I get there, the Holy Spirit will come upon me. I'll just do something. David settled down, looked at Goliath, said, this guy's head is big. I can't miss him. The way I normally handle my stone, I use this stone to harvest mango. The last 50 mangoes I went after, not one of them survived. All I need to do is get heavier stones. Now, if I tell you this, it surprises you. Some of you. David took those stones knowing exactly that I will sling this stone. The man is using a sword and a javelin. Fine. Before he will raise the sword, and he won't know what's coming. And the thing will hit him dead in the head. I will stun him. In that process, I will go after him, take his sword, and behead him. By the time he wakes up, he will be dead. As God is my witness, David knew that was what was going to happen. The question is, how did he know? Christianity is, how do I get to the point of knowing exactly what to do? That's why I can't read it in a book. Because every book will tell you the foolishness of attacking a giant with a stone. You know why? What if you miss? He go vex, kill you twice. Now, you are getting the principle. You get the principle. So to David, it wasn't like, hey, my God will just do something. Goliath shall fall. This Goliath will just collapse. Will just have a stroke suddenly and just die. No. David knew this Goliath is going down. And this had the steps for the going downness of Goliath. We shall take a very smooth and heavy stone. Having been experienced, you will see what David did. He didn't say that I was just a lucky man. He said, God, you taught my hands to war. Do you get my point? God gave me the skill for battle. So I analyze the situation. How do we take this guy? No, not in sport. So what we're going to do? We're going to bring him, stun him first. And then we'll kill him. How do we stun him? We'll take his sling and his stone. So when they gave him his sword and all of those things, he said, oh God, this one is heavy. Because when a man wants to wind his stone, you know, all these encumbrances of brass and iron are going to become a serious problem. So he dropped it. What am I saying? The entrance into the kingdom for David was what? The knowledge of what he needed to do to bring down Goliath. It wasn't just I told the boldest people are fools. You know that? The boldest people on earth are the people that know nothing. You want me to prove it to you? How many people invest in the stock market who are right now broke for life? They had no idea what was going on. Now, please, I'm explaining the principle here. David was able to enter into that kingdom and manifest divine power. How? Because he had the knowledge. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? This is what Christianity is. The thing that happens in your heart so that you get to a point where you look at the situation, draw back, analyze, suddenly you know what to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know what to do. To everybody else is foolishness. To you, you don't understand why they can't see that it makes sense. What if I miss? Why should I miss? With a head as big as this, why should I miss? I went after 50 mangoes in this last mango season. I did not miss. There was the last five, actually, the breeze was blowing. I waited for the breeze to calm down. It did not calm down. So I checked the frequency of the blowing of the rain. When I saw the way the mango was moving to and fro, I discovered the natural rhythm of the movement. So I aimed my stone to match it at the peak of its motion, and it came down. Why will I miss? Why will I miss? My friends, who I thought to sling stones, all right? They are not missing. Why will I miss? Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, the power of God in his life is that God said, as he has said it, he will not miss. I will freeze Goliath for him. Goliath will be looking at the stone as he's heading towards him. He boga and for head. Before he realizes what is happening, he's dead. That's what I'm going to do for David. But this point I'm making, David knew what he would need to do to bring down Goliath. That's what Peter called what? Your entrance. Look at that verse 11 again. He said, for in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior will be abundantly supplied to you. I don't want to spend too much time. Let me begin to round off. Number one, first principle of how Christians get results is for them to know that they have promises over their heads and there is a specific word about their lives. Until they discover that word, it's going to be a matter of struggle. Until God gives you that word, do that which seems good to you. What I mean is that if you don't know exactly what yet, it makes sense for a man to labor and eat. You get my point. Go to work regularly. It makes sense. But he knows that I won't get anywhere until I step into the word for my life. That's one of the things you learn, the matter of patience. Christians can't afford to be in a hurry. Some of the principles people don't, they teach as natural principles. We don't need them. Some of the principles that will really, for us as believers, break forth great manifestations in our lives. To the person who's not a believer, they are very foolish. Personally, I've seen people look at me before and wonder whether I was normal. But what I was seeing, they were looking at, why do you want to go in this line? One of my friends, one day we stopped to shine our shoes or something like that, or was it to pump tire? I was in his car, a senior friend. So he said, how much would that be? I said, I think it's 20 naira. He said, no, it can't be 20 naira. I said, oh God, it's 20 naira. He said, the guy does not want to build a house. Why is he charging 20 naira? He said, won't he buy a car? How's he charging 20 naira? The way he responded, you know, 20 naira is not going to get him anywhere. All right, he wants 29. Let's give him the 29. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the people who look at me that, why are you following this path in life? Don't you want to build a house? Don't you want to buy a car? Don't you want to be able to go anywhere you would so desire on this earth? And I was looking at them like, what's wrong with you? Don't you know that when the time comes, great doors will be open to me that I will start a house in January and complete it by December? Because I want it to be well done. If I want all of these shabby things they are doing, I'll do it in 3 months. Don't you know that men who start building house small are out of peace of mind for the next 10 years until the house is complete? Don't you know that any man that struggles to go anywhere in life will struggle to stay there? Don't you know that if God doesn't open a door, only struggles you will use to try and knock the door down, and what is behind it will not be peaceable to your heart? And like, what's wrong with them? I feel like, okay, so the money, the lecturers have been paid now, it's not good. I said, who told you that it's from there a man will become very great in life? I said, listen, my life is in stages. And why am I doing what I'm doing? Because I want to go and fulfill a calling. It is God teaching the word of God. And this just fits. I can't just understand their problems. But the reason being that what they think is important to me is not important. I read all the encyclopedias in the world, and not one of them, you know what I'm trying to say, describe the kind of house that Paul built. Earthquake, sure. Now Indonesia earthquake day now. You know, look, apart from those who died, you know how many people who were rich who are now poor? The landlords who felt they shouldn't work again, but cross their legs and be collecting rent. You know what has happened now? The buildings have gone down, and insurance for information does not cover earthquake. You know why? The insurance company will go bankrupt. So even though they cover, they will go bankrupt once the quake finishes restoring the building. CEO will call everybody, boys, what's our liability? They'll say $2.5 trillion. All right, shut down. Just file for bankruptcy protection. We can no longer meet our obligations. They call them the acts of God. Very correct description. It's not the devil. I can show you. It's Isaiah chapter 40. All flesh is grass. When the quake of God shakes upon it. You understand that scripture? Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I feel that no. For me, this is a reasonable matter. What am I bringing out? The Christian knows there's a promise. And is not hindered by all these cares of the world. That's number one. That's number one. But remember the question I kept on asking again and again. How do I get to the... Okay, the next point. The next point is that I know there's a promise over my life. And number two, the second principle. The first principle is the knowledge of the fact about your life, that you're not an accident. The second principle is that you need an entrance. Everybody say entrance. And what is that entrance? It is a knowledge of the will of God for your life at that particular point in time. You don't learn that in business schools. You don't. You don't learn that anywhere else. You don't. How do you learn it? The Spirit. Now, that's Christianity is real. The Spirit of God will inspire something inside you. Are you getting my point? The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Then a seed will be conceived in your heart, which you will know, by which you will know exactly what to do. And that's why we described the life of who? David. Next point I want to make is how do we get to that point of knowledge? So I brought out 2 points. Number one, the knowledge. That's concerning how to get results. Number one is the knowledge of that which is real. That is, your life is not an accident. You know that you were born on purpose. Then secondly, you must get your own entrance. Now the main thing I want to go into next, which I will just introduce and we'll continue next time, is how we get into that. And that's why we read all that portion of the scriptures, Second Peter chapter 1. He said, because of the understanding we have concerning the way these things work, we apply all diligence so that in our faith we supply moral excellence, and in that moral excellence we supply knowledge. And he said these are qualities: self-control, perseverance, godliness, and brotherly kindness. He said if you have these qualities and you are increasing, you will not be unfruitful. He said, but if you lack these qualities, you are what? Look, verse 9. Everybody look at verse 9. The person who lacks these qualities is what? Is what? Blind. Say it again. Blind. The person who lacks these qualities is what? Blind. Are you seeing that? He's blind. He will not be able to see his own entrance. I don't know. Did you hear that? He said, apply all diligence to come to a level. What am I saying? David was able to see his own entrance into the kingdom. Are you getting the point? The person who doesn't have the qualities will not be able to see his own entrance. And except a man be born again, he cannot see. The way we have taught born again as Christians is one day come to church, give your life to Christ, and you are born again. That is correct, amen? But that is the beginning of something. Don't ever forget that scripture I quoted, talking about the parable in the book of Luke about the prodigal son. Jesus said that in New American Standard, he said, your brother that was dead has now begun to live. Are you getting my point? Born again is not a once and for all process. It's a process that I start, I don't stop. Let me tell you the truth. People say that nobody could be born again before Jesus Christ died. That doesn't make sense, because Jesus himself said to somebody, you need it. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. I will discuss that when we continue next time. But this point I'm making from there. For a man to see, he has to go through certain processes. For a man to see, he has to work on his qualities. Let me say this. Your only job as a believer, when it comes, now please hear me clearly. This is never taught in business schools. That's why you don't need what they are teaching as a primary foundation. You need this one. The primary job as a believer in getting results in life, all right, having discovered that he's not an accident, having discovered that he needs an entrance, his primary job is to ensure the clearness of his eyes. And that is done simply by working on his moral character. Did you hear what I said? Listen, you cannot go, hey, this is a mistake we make. You say, God, reveal to me what is my door. Reveal to me your will, your wisdom. God said, it doesn't work like that. What I reveal to you are your sins and your iniquities. I don't know whether I get my point. What I reveal to you are the places you are not showing brotherly kindness. What I reveal to you is where you are not showing perseverance. What I reveal to you is where you are walking in iniquity. And then you will come and cleanse your life of those things. And once your life is cleansed, you will suddenly discover that your eyes are clear. And you can discover what it is that's your entrance. How do Christians get results? By daily offering up the correct sacrifices before God. I want to summarize everything that I'm going to discuss next in that expression. This is how Christians get results. You see, because the result of your life is dependent upon your ability to decode your own entrance. You know, we've established the mission of entrance. How do I get to know my entrance? Peter said, I apply diligence so that in my life, I will make some things sure. Let's quickly read them again so we can close. I apply diligence so that I will apply, he said, I will use, in my faith, I will supply what? Moral excellence. In my moral excellence, I will supply knowledge. With that, I will add what? Self-control. With that, I will add perseverance. With that, I will add godliness. And with that, I will add brotherly kindness. And with that, I will add overall love. Now, when I have these qualities, I will discover that my eyes are clear. And then suddenly, revelation becomes normal to me. Are you getting my point? Just sitting down. Now, I want to get into that. Because as believers, you need time to settle down and contemplate. We'll discuss again what I call contemplating the mess. You know, we discussed that before. That is when he said the earth was without form and it was void. And darkness was over the surface of the deep. And then God said, let there be light. Are you getting the point? When God said that thing, alright, it was out of what he had contemplated. So when I said, let there be 1 hour ahead of time. Are you getting what I'm saying? Suddenly it's arranged. Actually, God was arranging it ahead of time, waiting for me to get to a point where I will understand. Like I said, to me it is reasonable. How much will it cost? To me, it is reasonable. Where will the money come from? To me, it is reasonable. To other people, it might not be. What have I said? As a conclusion, where we'll continue from today. I said, the way by which you begin to enter into your kingdom is for you to see. The way by which you ensure that you see is for you to ensure that your eyes are what? Clear. And that is by supplying moral excellence into your life. Listen, any gospel, let me say it to you again, that says to you you can prosper without repentance from sin, the preacher is either confused or he's deliberately lying. Christians don't get rich. Do you understand my point? By sowing more money. Oh gosh, I wish you get my point. The reason why Christians give is because without giving, is wickedness, because the Bible says supply brotherly kindness and brotherly kindness what? Love. It has the same effect. Listen, giving has, listen. The giving of money as a believer has the same effect as abstaining from cheating. It has the same effect as abstaining from sexual immorality. It has the same effect as abstaining from telling lies. Giving for a believer is part of this moral integrity. You can't bribe God into prosperity. You can't. It's just a popular doctrine in the body of Christ. The reason why you prosper is because Jesus died that you might prosper. Do you understand my point? Have I explained anything today? I've just been jumping to make myself happy. The Lord is good. Let me summarize in just one statement. Your life is not average. Your destiny was determined before you were born. The reason why you will succeed is because God has a promise that guarantees success. You are not trying to succeed. You are living out the success that was prophesied over your life. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
And the way by which you enter into that kingdom is by what? Seeing, knowledge, knowing the will of God, having the understanding of your own entrance. And without the addition of moral character, you will not be able to see. You will just continue to struggle. So your job as a believer is a constant confession of sin. Sin doesn't mean that, sir, as I was going today, I lusted after another man's wife. That is a sin. If you do that, you should also confess. Are you getting what I'm saying? But sin is beyond that. Sin is everything you are doing that is not in perfect order according to what God proposed that your life should be. It can be that never having told your wife I love in the last 1 week is a sin. It's possible. That's one sin I don't commit. It can be a sin that you have not prophesied over your children in the last 4 days. Another sin that I don't commit. It might be a sin for you that you pay yourself first before you pay your staff. It might be a sin that every time you go to work, you don't remember to knock on your boss's door and give him a blessing. Or enter into your office and, you know, enter your office, shut the door. Shabango solebeto. Father God, thank you for my boss. Thank you for the man who owns this business. You will bless him, bless his family. I pray that we will increase. And it's not for yourself, it's for somebody else. For you, that may be the sin. Your sin may be that I have prophesied that good will never come to Nigeria. Because every day I say, Nepa is not working. All these people are thieves. Can't you see Uli, Barawo, all of them? May God punish them one by one. That may be the sin that you are committing. I hope you've gotten my point.